So when you attack the pipelines and attack the industry and attack the energy and attack the family and attack the middle class, and then you don't target the middle class with the giant tax rates. I mean, they did that too. You target the poorest working people and the blue-collar folks making $40,000 or less a year. You target them with IRS attack dogs, even though they're a fraction of the tax base. I mean, that's a perfect policy to bankrupt people and make people give up and destroy their lives. Just horrible. But it's the same global group trying to give you poison shots and kill your ass. I mean, they really don't like us. They really don't like you. They don't like prosperity. They're horrible people. So here is Christina Freeland selling the total collapse to Canadians, and they sell the same thing in universities all over the world. Get rid of the middle class. That's prosperity. Don't raise everybody to a higher standard. Lower everyone to a lower standard with a tiny 0.1% ruling you. Here it is.
And this is what he said when I talked to him about what's going on in the American middle class. We demand a higher paycheck than the rest of the world. So if you're going to demand 10 times the paycheck, you need to deliver 10 times the value. It sounds harsh, but maybe people in the middle class need to decide to take a pay cut. Again, not untrue if you're looking at the dynamics of the global economy, but politically and socially, a very difficult thing.
But Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and the rest of them, they're not going to take pay cuts. In fact, they're the most hardcore on record to their employees and screwing their employees. So no. They're not going to stop flying on planes. They're not going to stop having children. You are. And notice she's not just talking about middle class versus working class in America or Canada. She's saying, oh, since people are poor in Africa, you need to be poor. Oh, yeah, if we get real poor and don't buy products from Africa, that'll help them. No, as we get richer, they get richer in a free market system. Everybody knows that. John F. Kennedy knew that. A rising tide raises all ships. She says, no, a lowering tide raises them. That's 1984 level lies. I've got a whole bunch of clips I want to get to, but look at these headlines. Bill Gates flies around Australia on a $70 million private jet, one of 10 he owns, lecturing people about climate change and say they've got to give up their cows, sheep, cars, and don't have children. Continuing, White House Press Secretary says House Republicans are using their narrow majority to force American people to pay higher gas prices when he cut off the pipelines and, you know, all the rest of it and sold the strategic oil reserve. Meanwhile, WEF chauffeur admits VIP elites refuse to ride in electric cars, demand the biggest gas guzzlers. They love their hypocrisy. Let's just play these clips. There's a lot of them back to back. This is Greta Thunberg asked at Davos if she'll protest Russia and Saudi Arabian oil. She only protests European oil. It's part of the energy crackdown. And the White House press secretary saying the thing I just said, that the Republicans are behind the higher gas prices. And then the same idiot saying it's a non-issue that Biden sold U.S. oil reserves to communist China instead of to U.S. refineries that would have lowered prices. Let's play a clip 2, 3, and 4 back to back.
Never protest Saudi Arabia or Russia. You only protest Western energy. Why have you never criticized Vladimir Putin or OPEC?
Yeah, I've never done that. Never, ever.
Well, will you do so now? Will you condemn OPEC energy?
The president spent the last 2 years, as you know, doing everything he could to lower gas prices for American families, and prices are down about $1.60 a gallon since last summer. Now, House Republicans are using their narrow majority to force the American people to pay higher gas prices just as big oil companies are amassing record profits.
The House has passed bipartisan legislation that would ban the export of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to Chinese companies. Given that oil has flowed to China from that reserve during both this administration and the previous one, is that the type of reform that the president would potentially support?
So look, I think this is a little bit of what the secretary was talking about just moments ago. This bill addresses a non-issue. We're very clear on that.
Whether you're in Canada, the U.S., Europe, the U.K., Australia, New Zealand, they're cutting the power off everywhere. and they're shutting down the coal power plants that produce almost all the energy. And I saw a report of Bill Gates in Australia 2 days ago. We didn't have time to play it. But they said, but Bill Gates is here to save you. Yes, we know your energy prices have tripled the last 5-6 years, and it's killing people's livelihoods, but it's okay. We're putting price caps on coal so they can't gouge you for the few coal power plants that are left. That'll just bankrupt them. They always point at a coal power plant at night in the cold weather and say, look how toxic it is. It's hot air coming out with only carbon dioxide and water vapor. And in the freezing, when it's in the winter, it looks hellish, but it's totally clean, unlike China and Mexico and India, where there are no scrubbers and it is toxic. Let's continue with clip 8. This is Jennifer Granholm, one of the mean secretaries Biden has, bizarrely brags about prices at the pump and saying that Biden, this is the energy secretary, has given us better gas prices, even though they're up over a dollar what they were at their peak with Trump. Here it is.
The average price of a gallon of gas is now down about $1.60 from last summer's peak, but a 30% decline.
And now let's go ahead and play the other clip of Granholm as well, saying that he's mainly focused, Biden, on controlling energy prices. You mean jacking them up?
You know, President Biden really has been singularly focused on reducing costs for American families, especially energy costs, especially both transportation as well as at home.
Now, to take a little bit north to the WEF's vice leader, she's the real prime minister of Canada, the real leader of Canada. Here is Chrystia Freeland giving a speech saying that the middle class has too much money and that we need to redistribute it to the poor people. Now, the average poor person generally doesn't have good economics education, but let me explain this. And most middle-class people don't either, but the elites do. Less than 0.1% has over 70% of the wealth in the world. It's not the 1%. If you make $250,000 a year, even less, the number's like 230, you are considered the 1%. All of 99.9% of the 1% and all those below them have 30% or a little more, depending on the country, of the world's wealth. In 1955, America was 4% of the world's population. We had 56% of the world's wealth, and it was distributed, and we had the biggest middle class history had ever seen. A middle class is a ladder up for poor people, and a big middle class is always indicative of the most wealthy, successful countries, and it's a product of Europe and a product of Christianity, a product you don't see anywhere else that was then finally exported to the world, that is a countervailing wind to globalism and neo-feudalism and making you poor to control you. You'll own nothing, you'll have nothing, you'll like it. But here she is telling a group of people that, oh, if we get rid of the middle class, people making $70,000 a year, they estimate what they call it, up to about $240,000 a year, if we get rid of them and distribute it to poor people, they'll suddenly have wealth. No, it's the middle class that generates the entrepreneurship and the companies and the small companies, the jobs. And every metric and every historical research paper shows that. You don't need to be Milton Friedman to know it. It's a fact. So when you attack the pipelines and attack the industry and attack the energy and attack the family and attack the middle class, and then you don't target the middle class with the giant tax rates. I mean, they did that too. You target the poorest working people and the blue-collar folks making $40,000 or less a year. You target them with IRS attack dogs, even though they're a fraction of the tax base. I mean, that's a perfect policy to bankrupt people and make people give up and destroy their lives. Just horrible. But it's the same global group trying to give you poison shots and kill your ass. I mean, they really don't like us. They really don't like you. They don't like prosperity. They're horrible people. So here is Chrystia Freeland selling the total collapse to Canadians, and they sell the same thing in universities all over the world. Get rid of the middle class. That's prosperity. Don't raise everybody to a higher standard. lower everyone to a lower standard with a tiny 0.1% ruling. Here it is.
And this is what he said when I talked to him about what's going on in the American middle class. We demand a higher paycheck than the rest of the world. So if you're going to demand 10 times the paycheck, you need to deliver 10 times the value. It sounds harsh, but maybe people in the middle class need to decide to take a pay cut. Again, not untrue if you're looking at the dynamics of the global economy, but politically and socially, a very difficult thing.
But Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and the rest of them, they're not going to take pay cuts. In fact, they're the most hardcore on record to their employees and screwing their employees. So no. They're not going to stop flying on planes. They're not going to stop having children. You are. And notice she's not just talking about middle class versus working class in America or Canada. She's saying, oh, since people are poor in Africa, you need to be poor. Oh, yeah, if we get real poor and don't buy products from Africa, that'll help them. No, as we get richer, they get richer in a free market system. Everybody knows that. John F. Kennedy knew that. A rising tide raises all ships. She says, no, a lowering tide raises them. That's 1984 level lies.
Here's what you can expect at Davos this year, where our unelected overlord, Klaus Schwab, asked this very important question.
What does it need to master the future?
This year's annual meeting takes place amid a global cost of living crisis and during Russia's ongoing war in Ukraine. By bringing the planet's politicians, business, and civil leaders together in the same building, the meeting offers a key opportunity, like the Clear and Present Danger of Disinformation panel discussion, led by former CNN arbiter of truth, Brian Stelter.
So I leave CNN, I was arrested by military police.
Brian recently had a run-in with conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Here's how it went down.
There's nothing you can do. We're going to rip your body, rip your medical rights, rip your children's minds. We're going to ship fentanyl in. We're going to destroy every facet. Hollywood rules.
Economic growth increasingly depends on building a green global economy. At Davos, the First Movers Coalition will convene to discuss progress towards this goal. It's a group of 65 companies working to decarbonize the sectors responsible for 30% of global emissions, including heavy industry and long-distance transport. To follow the annual meeting 2023, visit our website. Working towards a safe and secure society, I'm the Tyrannical Lisp.